We'll turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to read the verses 35 through to 37. We were looking at these words last Lord's Day, and we can get through all of the material. And we've been seeing in previous weeks that the enemies of the Lord had failed to perplex him, so they had been asking questions to try and trap the Lord, but they had failed. And when the Lord asked one question, we find then these enemies immediately perplexed. And we read in Matthew's Gospel, no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. And the Lord's question then is found here in verse 35. Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. And as I explained last week in Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, it's Jehovah saying unto Adonai, Jehovah speaking then to the master, because David, he says, my Lord. And so as David thinks of this then, and the Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord, and the question then the Lord is asking, how can David call the one who is his son, the Messiah, the one that was not yet born in David's time, how could David call him his Lord? And that then for the Jew, the unconverted Jew, was a great mystery. But the mystery then has been revealed to the people of God, that the Messiah is both the son of David and the son of God. So he was born as the Messiah, but he has eternally been the son of God. He is David's son, and at the same time, David's Lord. And today we want to come and look especially at the words then at the end of verse 36, where the Lord said, till I make thine enemies thy footstool, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We seek the Lord's face together in prayer, and we need much of the Lord's help, and let us seek his face then together, please. Our gracious Father, we do commit this time into thy hand. And Lord, we recognize that as we come to the holy word of God, that we come to an inerrant book. We thank thee for the word of God, that every word is pure. Lord, we pray as we come to these most solemn words, that thou wilt minister to every one of us. We pray very especially for any who sit here still not right before thee. Oh Lord, may they today see their great danger. Lord, we pray that we'll see more than that. May they be brought to see that there is hope in Christ. Oh Lord, come, we pray. Grant us thine enablement. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to be given in the hearing and the preaching of the word. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. Thomas Sherman wrote these solemn words: if you hate his throne, you shall be made his footstool. If you will not have him to be your head, you shall be trodden under his feet. If he is not your saviour, he will be your judge. If you will not have him to be your head, you shall be trodden under his feet. And that was surely the warning that the Lord was giving to these religious leaders that he was addressing here in Mark chapter 12. And it was a warning also to the common people, because as we saw last week, these words are directed to
both of those groups, to the religious leaders and then to the common people, the ordinary people. What think ye of Christ, whose son is he? So then here there was this warning. If you remain as my enemy, you will one day be my footstool. And we saw then last week that Christ has this great throne. We talked about the eternal decree and how the Father spoke these great words. The Lord said unto my Lord in eternity past. And then we looked at the Messiah and his impending dignity. And so when Christ was quoting these words, he was showing that the first part of that great text in Psalm 110 verse 1 was about to be fulfilled. That very soon the Son of God was to ascend into glory. And as he would ascend into glory, he would sit at the Father's right hand. And so I showed you that the New Testament applies those words of Psalm 110 to the exaltation and the present reign of our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today then I want to come on what would have been our third point last week, to look at the Messiah and the awaiting destruction. The Messiah and the awaiting destruction. And we're going to focus on these words where the Lord said, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So the Father said to the Son, you sit there on your throne until I make your enemies your footstool. And the Lord then was making a great promise to the Son concerning the enemy. These enemies that you have one day will be under your feet in that sense of being ultimately crushed. They will be the Lord's footstool. And so in the context then of Mark chapter 12, the Lord was saying to these religious leaders, the Lord was saying to the common people, as you oppose me, as you seek to have me destroyed, as you say, I will not have him to be mine. The Lord was saying, if you remain in that state of enmity and die in that state of enmity, then be very sure that one day you will be the Lord's footstool. And therefore there is an exhortation here in these words. You must repent. You must repent now. I want to say first of all concerning this awaiting destruction, the reservation for the wicked. The reservation for the wicked. For these words are certainly words of great warning. But they are spoken in the terms of a great guarantee to the Son. And so you look at it there in verse 36, David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till, or until, I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so, the Lord is pictured there as being in glory today. The Lord is seated on the throne. And what is the Father saying to the Son? You sit there until the day comes when I make your enemies to be your footstool. And this then is a warning to the ungodly. It's a promise to the Son, but it's a warning to the ungodly that there is a reservation for your destruction. There is a reservation for your destruction. Christ has ascended up on high. He is seated in glory. Yet he awaits the day when his enemies will be completely. In this promise, you'll see that the Lord is seated. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand. I mentioned before the Bible reading in Psalm 110 that in that psalm, the Lord is not only in view as the King, he's in view as the priest. Now, through the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was no seat for the priest to sit upon. And so the priest that was working in the holy place, there was no seat for him. And there was a very clear reason for that. His work was never done. because his work was always pointing forward to something that was yet to be accomplished. That is, it was always pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry, and his sacrificial death. But we read then, as our king priest ascended into heaven, the Father said to him, "Sit." And it's signifying then that there is a part of the Lord's work that is done. The priestly work, as far as purchasing redemption, it's done. It's finished. The Lord has done everything that is needed that a sinner like you and me could be saved. The redemptive work is done. But there is something the Lord awaits. And so usually through the Word of God in the New Testament, we read of Christ sitting in glory. But there are a couple of occasions at least where we read of Christ standing. And one of those occasions is in James 5. James 5 verse 7. "Behold the husbandman," and speaking of the Lord, "behold the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and is long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." And then in verse 9, "Behold the judge standeth before the door." And in those words, Christ is spoken in terms of standing. The Lord is pictured there as a judge standing at the door, and he's standing ready. And what is he ready to do? Well, we read there that he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That is, he's waiting first of all to bring his completed church into glory. And so there will be a day when all his people will be gathered together. The Lord's waiting for that day. But then secondly, he is waiting for the destruction of the ungodly. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews and the chapter 10. And the apostle here quotes from Psalm 110. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. "Every priest standeth daily ministering." And so, as I said, there was no seat for them. "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, those sacrifices were insufficient in themselves. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Then verse 13, "From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." And see there that the latter part of verse 13 is a quotation from Psalm 110 verse 1. "Until his enemies be made his footstool." And it says that Christ then is in glory. He has offered the sacrifice. He has sat down at the right hand of God. And he is expecting from that day of his ascension, right through until today and right through until the Lord's return, he's in this state of expectation. He is waiting in anticipation. What is he waiting for? "Until his enemies be made his footstool." Now if you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8. And here the Lord is seen as one who is infinitely greater than the angels. For the Lord has never honoured an angel, but he did honour the Son. And he honoured the Son as he took flesh. Verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." And so, all things are already under the Lord's feet in a very real sense. Everything that is necessary for the destruction of the Lord's enemies is already guaranteed through the Lord's work at Calvary. And in that sense, the enemies are under the Lord's feet. All things are under the Lord's feet. But at the end of verse 8, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." So the Lord is in control. The Lord is sovereign over everything. Nothing is taking the Lord by surprise. Though the enemies would seem to gain the upper hand, it's not so. Christ is in control. And yet, it's not manifest at all times that all things are under the Lord's feet. So it may appear that the enemies are gaining the upper hand, but it's only an appearance. And certainly for the ungodly, it is not manifest to them that they are under the Lord's feet. But let's be clear, very soon it will. And it will be very, very clearly manifest to them on that day when they become the footstool of Christ. And there'll be no denying that they're under his footstool, that they're under his feet. The Lord will crush his enemies. All this is to be comforting to the child of God. As we read these words in our text in Mark chapter 12, the Lord saying to my Lord, sit down my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We are to be encouraged by that as God's people. Because as we see the enemies of God's people today, as we see the scoffers, as we see the Bible deniers, as we see governments increasingly legislating things contrary to God's word and against God's people, here we find great comfort. For all of this is only for a day or two. Very soon, all of these enemies, if they die as they live, they will be the Lord's footstool. And there are times when the Lord is pictured as one who rides. You remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7, as we have the account of his martyrdom being stoned to death. Stephen saw the Lord standing. Of course, he also saw the Lord seated as his high priest. But in Acts 7 verse 56, he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God. And what was Stephen seeing there? That Christ was one who was active. He is seated. His redemptive work is done. But he is still working in our behalf. And in our times of trial, in our times of tribulation, child of God, lift your eye heavenward and see that the Lord is not only seated, but he also rises to comfort you. He rises to succor you. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. His concern is this, that the enemy rages against you. And this all ought to comfort us then. The Lord is both seated and yet rises for us. But this ought to be something that causes great consternation to the unconverted. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And today, if you're in this meeting and you're still without Jesus Christ, be very clear of this. That if you die as you live, you will be the Lord's footstool. And there is a reservation then for you. There is wrath, everlasting fire, reserved for you. And the Father is saying to the Son today, you sit there until that rebellious sin will be your footstool. And I want you today to wake up as it were and see the dreadful state that you find yourself in. And that you would see that awful reservation. There is a day appointed. The very solemn words in the book of Job. Job 21 verse 30. The wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. And they shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. There's a reservation, and there'll be a time when the sinner is brought out of the reservation. He'll be brought out of the waiting room, as it were. And he will have upon him all the wrath that is his due. So these words, they emphasize to us the reservation for the wicked. But I want to move on then and see, secondly, they bring to our attention the reward for the wicked. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstep. What is the Lord saying then? I will tread upon them. I will tread upon them. And one aspect of that then is this. The Lord is going to deal in vengeance with the ungodly. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous. The Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord revengeth. And three times over there in that text, the Lord will take revenge. The Lord is a God of revenge, not in the sense of one who is bad-tempered. But the Lord will reward the wicked in accordance with what the wicked deserves. Deuteronomy 32:35, to me, to the Lord, belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. And then in Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Remember how in the book of Hebrews, it talks about those that have great privilege. It talks about those that are exposed to faithful preaching of the word, and some even make profession. But it's empty profession, it's barren. And what do we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29? They trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is every ungodly man doing today? What is every unconverted man doing today? What is every religious person doing who is depending on something else other than the work of Jesus Christ? He is trampling Christ underfoot. He counts the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. As the sinner tramples Christ underfoot, the Lord says, listen, I will trample you underfoot. You will reap as you have sown. And so often we read of that principle in the Word of God. The punishment merges the sin. You remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16. There was Lazarus there, and he could only have wished to have the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The rich man gave him nothing. The rich man denied someone bread on earth. In hell, the rich man was denied water. You remember Nadab and Abihu? They offered strange fire to the Lord. That was their sowing. They leaped. Lord destroyed them. And we think of Sodom and Gomorrah. They burned in sinful passions. God destroyed them with fire. Listen, dear sinner, you will reap as you have sowed. As you trample Christ underfoot and account his blood to be unnecessary, unholy, whatever it is, be sure of this. The Lord will destroy you. The Lord is a God of vengeance. And oh, today I plead with you then. Trample him underfoot no longer. Despise his mercy no longer. Despise his invitation no longer. But today recognize the peril of your state. Before I move on, I should say that it is important for us to see in this text that the footstool is the Lord's footstool. It's the footstool of Christ. Jehovah has said unto Adonai, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so the footstool is not so much the footstool of the child of God, though we'll see later that we will have a sharing in that, but it's the Lord's footstool. And what I'm seeking to emphasize is this, that vengeance then does not belong to you. As we see the enemies of Christ, it's not the duty of you and me to take vengeance. That's the Lord's work. You remember in Romans chapter 12, and Paul speaks of that, recompense no to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is not the work of you and I.
And rather, Paul says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The enemies are the Lord's footstool. Let us not steal it. And the Lord will see to it then that the enemies will be his footstool. The reservation for the wicked, the reward for the wicked. I want to see, thirdly, the ruin of the wicked. For these words, until I make thine enemies thy footstool, they speak of great destruction. And I want in the latter part of the message to think upon the significance of the footstool. Why does the Lord refer to that destruction as putting his feet on a footstool? And I want to suggest, first of all, that it signifies this coming subjection of the ungodly. The enemies will be the Lord's footstool. They will be under his feet. They will bow in subjection. In this time, you see, they make themselves to be God. And they will deny God his place. They will not bow before him. But there's coming a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and they will do it in great fear. They will do it in guilt. They will not be unto salvation. But they will in that day be in a place of subjection. And they will gladly be in the place of subjection. Lamentably, in the place of subjection, wishing they had been there long before. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. And it says of the Messiah that he will put down all rule and power. And what's he going to do when he puts down all power? He is going to put it under his feet. And the word put down there in 1 Corinthians 15, it has the idea of being put under, to be rendered inactive, to be deprived of force. And we think then of the enemies of the Lord today, whether as common people or those that occupy places of leadership. They will not bow to God. They are full of rebellion against Christ. But there's coming a day when they will be rendered inactive. They will be put down by being put under. And I believe the idea of the footstool then does speak to us of completed work. I don't know if many people use the footstool today. But surely the idea of someone in the evening sitting down and putting their foot in the footstool, or their feet in the footstool, it has the idea, my work is done for you. I have worked hard, and now I sit down and I relax in the evening. I put my foot in the footstool. And this is the idea then. The Lord is seated today, but his feet aren't on the footstool. There's something that is still to be done. The ultimate destruction of the ungodly, their complete ruin. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The Lord's feet in the footstool then will mean every single soul will be in subjection to him, manifestly so. And therefore, dear sinner, this portion is exhorting to you, come and submit to Christ now. Don't remain a rebel a moment longer. The time for you to submit is not that white throne judgment. The time for you to submit is right now in this meeting. You think of that great gospel call at the end of Psalm 2, where again there is that theme of the enemies of God, and there is the call, kiss the Son. Bow before him and submit to him. You must be like that woman in Luke chapter 7, Remember the woman that was at the Lord's feet, and she had tears. She was wiping the Lord's feet with the hairs of her head, anointing them with ointment.
What were those tears? They were firstly the tears of penitence. Here I am, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. They were tears of penitence.
And as she was humbly bowed there at the Lord's feet, her tears became tears of thankfulness.
That the Lord would have mercy on a rebellious sinner like her.
And as you have spent these years in rebellion, dear sinner, oh, that you would see that if you are to bow today at the Lord's feet, the Lord will have mercy. The Lord will have mercy. There has never been one that has bowed at the Lord's feet, and the Lord has said, I will have. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May you come today in that penitence, that state of repentance, and then be like the madman of Gadara after his transformation. Remember how in his wild days he couldn't be restrained, he couldn't be chained, and when the Lord delivered him of the demons, where was he? Sitting, clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, today that you would be penitent, that you would humbly bow at the Lord's feet, and then that you would sit at his feet like Mary of Bethany, to be taught, to learn of him. And so then the footstool, it signifies the subjection, the coming subjection of the ungodly. It also signifies the coming shame of the ungodly. You think of this picture of the Lord bringing down his feet. It surely has the idea of the sinner being crushed into the dust. And what does the dust speak of? In accordance with Genesis chapter 3, the dust, it speaks of shame. Speaks of the curse. The serpent was made to crawl there upon the dust. And so we are reading here of the curse. We are reading of shame. As the sinner will be the Lord's footstool, be very sure that the sinner will be full of shame. Ashamed of himself. Ashamed of his guilt. Ashamed of all of that prolonged period of rebellion. And he will be ashamed then before the beauty of Jesus Christ. That's why I say he will gladly submit. Because as he sees the beauty and power of Christ, he will think of doing nothing else except submitting. But it will be a submitting in shame. And it will not only be a shame before Christ, it will be a shame before his saints. Think of those words in Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And Paul is writing there to Christians. And he is saying concerning the coming destruction of Satan and then all that have followed him and remained under his dominion, the Lord will crush them under the feet of the saints of God. And so there will be a sharing in this footstool. It is the Lord's footstool, but we will share in the victory. We will be on the throne, seated with him. And as we see this then, this shame is before Christ and is before the saints. And you think of the Jewish leaders then. They despised the Lord and they despised his disciples. In coming days, they would despise the apostles in their apostolic ministry. But they would be ashamed as they would be crushed under the feet of the children of God. There will then be one footstool. And the in the parable of the tares and wheat, there are many tares, but they will be gathered into bundles, gathered together for a common destruction. And we have sinners today of many different backgrounds. Surely through this sitting, we have those that indulge in the deepest, most heinous sin. We have others who are religious, but they still reject the finished work of Christ.
We have others who have some false religion and they're faithful to it, but they deny the one true God. Many different backgrounds and experiences, but they will all be destroyed together. One footstool. Isaiah 1 verse 26, the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinners shall be together. Psalm 37, 38, the transgressor shall be destroyed together. And if you're in this meeting unsaved, I want to emphasize this to you. You'll be destroyed with every other Christ rejecter. No matter how much more moral you may be than them. No matter how much more privileged you may be with them.
In fact, your horror will be greater than them. What shame awaits the unconverted.
And so there is this coming shame, the coming subjection, and there is then finally a coming suffering. To be under the foot is to be crushed. I want you to think then of what the Lord is saying. Jehovah said to Adonai, you said until I make your enemies your footstool, until your enemies are irretrievably ruined, until they experience utter crushing, until they experience the most terrible agony that ever could be experienced. And there is then the idea of the Lord's feet coming down upon the necks of the ungodly. What suffering, what agony. We read of that in a sense of foretaste in Joshua 10 verse 24, where we read of a number of rebellious kings. And Joshua said in Joshua 10:24 unto the captains of the men of war, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And there is then this type in Joshua 10 of this coming day when the Lord will say, put your feet on them. Crush them. Have them ultimately destroyed. It's put like this in Isaiah 63 verse 3. I will tread them, or I will tread upon them in mine anger. Can you read any of those words and come to the conclusion that there's no real suffering at the day of judgment? Can you read those words and come to the conclusion that hell is going to be a great time, a great party for the unconverted? Surely not. What we read here is of sore agony, sore destruction, sore eternal destruction. For as the Lord will put his feet on the footstool, the Lord's feet will never be taken off the footstool. The crushing is eternal. The enemies will forever be under him. And how can we be sure that this will happen? Because the Lord seated today. Sit until. The Lord's seating is the guarantee that there will be the crushing, that there will be the footstool. May every one of us in this meeting deserve that crushing. And how can we escape them? These words, surely they bring us to the cross. For every one of us deserved that crushing. Every one of us deserved to be destroyed. And what was God's great answer? That his son would be crushed. You think of those words in Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse 6. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or in the margin, the Lord hath made to meet upon him. And the idea is that the Father took a great weight and he laid upon his son. What was that weight? Well, firstly, it was the sin of the people that Christ was dying for. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and sin, then our sin, the record of it, the heinousness of it, It was taken and laid on Christ.
More than that, the wrath that was due for that sin, the punishment that was due for it,
eternal hell, as it were, all of that wrath that we should have borne in eternity was taken. It was made to meet on Christ.
The Lord then bore that great weight of God's wrath. He stood in the sinner's place. And what is the Father's command then to you, dear sinner? Come and bow his feet. Will you not come and see that there was one who took the place of the sinner? One who so loved the sinner that he would stand in the sinner's place.
Today, if you will come to the Lord's feet, the Lord will not crush you. If you will come and bow before him, the Lord will not cast you away, but rather he will take you in his arms. He will receive you to be his.
He will surround you. We have those beautiful words in Isaiah 51 verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be on their heads. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. And we think of the condemned, what sorrow will be on their heads. But for us, it's everlasting joy. Oh, today, will you not hear these words then? The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou in my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hear in those words a warning, but then hear this exhortation, come and bow at the feet of God before it's too late. We trust the Lord to take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. And perhaps there is one in the meeting this morning, and you're not converted, and you're far away from the Lord. And today here surely is a solemn exhortation to you. Come and bow before the Lord's feet. We sang earlier, he who was the friend of sinners seeks the lost one now. Sinner, come and at his footstool penitently bow. Come and bow at his feet right now. I'm your servant for God's sake. You feel free to speak to me after the meeting or at any time. I'd certainly love to sit down with you and show you that wonderful means of redemption. Our Father, we thank thee for the speaking voice of God today. Lord, we pray, should there be any among us that are outside of you, should there be any and they're still on that broad road, oh Lord, deal with them. We pray, Lord, today that they will fear that foot of the Lord coming down to crush them. But we pray then that they will see the hand of the Lord that reaches out, the hand mighty to see. And oh Lord, we pray that today the sinners will come to the arms of the loving God. O Lord, minister on, we pray, in the Lord's name. Amen.